Welcome to Reality of the Rose with your host, Natalie Sprink.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 100 of Reality of the Rose. I'm your host, Natalie Sprink. Well, I hemmed and hawed about what to do for this 100th episode. I would have liked to have like some big famous guest on, but that was not going to happen. Thought about doing a Rose interview with like a few people, like friends, family type things. But honestly, it didn't work. Like the timing was bad for the ones I was thinking about. And, you know, somewhere along the line, I remember someone mentioning to me that sometime I should interview myself or like answer the questions myself. So I thought, maybe that would be like a good thing to do. Because I talk about myself some. You probably know, enough about me to really care, but you know, why not shove some more information about myself down your throat? So some of you listening may already know me, and that's why you're listening. So, you might know a lot of these things. Some of these you may not know. Maybe you don't know any of them because it's kind of a random set of questions. You know the questions. If you're a listener, you've heard the questions that I've asked other guests. So I decided today to just interview myself. It's a hard-hitting interview to interview yourself, but that's what I'm going to do. I also thought about asking Allie just to interview me, but she has got a crazy, crazy schedule this month. And so I honestly didn't want to bog her down with that. So, you know, who's the next best person? Me, to interview me. I mean, why not? So that's what I'm going to do. Going forward, then, starting next week, we have charity season begins. And so we have the issue of it's now going to be from 8 to 10 p.m., which sucks. I hate that. I don't know why they're doing that. I wish I knew, but they are. So it's Monday nights from 8 to 10. At least this first week, I'm just going to go ahead, watch it, and then record it and just stay up as late as it requires. I don't like the idea of taking up two full nights, one to watch and one to record. So anyway, I'm just going to probably play it week by week. If I ever have a guest on to recap with me, I may have to do it like, you know, release it on a different day because I'm sure many people that I would have as a guest don't want to stay up till practically midnight recording. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. Again, we'll play it by ear and who knows, it may change from week to week. So just sort of follow my Instagram. That's the best place to look for what my schedule is going to be. And so I'm excited after going over the men the last 2 weeks and kind of feeling like I know them. And I don't know, just having this big lag of time between Zach season and now this season, it kind of is refreshing to make me like ready to watch the show again. All right. Okay. So are you ready to hear my big Rose interview with Natalie Sprink? Feels so weird. This kind of feels weird, but let's go with it. All right. So my first question is like, this is a, tell me about yourself, how old you are, where you're from, about your family, your job, blah, 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 blah. So, I am 52 years old and I was born and raised in Frona, Missouri. And that's the only place I lived my entire life. I went to college, in Columbia, Missouri at the University of Missouri, Columbia for 4 years. So I guess technically I lived there for 4 years. I also, went to lumber inspection school in, Memphis, Tennessee for 3 months. So I lived in Memphis for 3 months, but for the most part, I was born and raised in Frona, Missouri. Almost exactly 5 years ago, because it was July 1st of 2018, we moved to Wisconsin, specifically Crandon, Wisconsin, and it was due to my husband Tim's job. He was going back and forth from Wisconsin to Missouri to Wisconsin like every 2 weeks and did that for like 2 years. And it was just too hard on a family. So we decided to move to Wisconsin. It was also good timing because Tyler was like finishing eighth grade, so it would be starting high school, and Allie was finishing high school going into college. So it was like kind of a logical time, you know, for him to just start a new high school, and her, obviously she was starting college. So we move here. So we've been here for 5 years now. I now work for Tim's company, which is a, we buy and sell logs, like wood, like logs, like that grow like trees. We sell them, we export them to, well, from our Wisconsin yard, mainly to China. And my job is basically the logistics of it. So a very simplistic description of my job is getting the logs from Crandon, Wisconsin to Shanghai, China. And there are very, 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 very many details involved in that process. So that is my job there. My job most of my life was with my family's sawmill, which is in Frohna, Missouri. My grandpa started it. And when I worked there, I was in lumber sales. I sold lumber, but I also did a little bit of logistics, a little bit of marketing, a little bit of kind of a lot of things. But that was my main duty. And so I had a wood background, so it helped me a lot when I started working for Tim. That's how Tim and I met, in the wood industry. But anyway, so that's what I do from like my quote unquote 9-to-5 job. And my family, basically, I have Tim as my husband, and we are just celebrating, is that's also on July 1st, our 25th wedding anniversary. And then our kids that we have, the two of us, is Allie and Tyler. So Allie is 23. God, really? Yeah, she just turned 23. Huh. And Tyler just turned 19. And then I have three stepsons, Jared, Matthew, and William. Jared, oh, great. These ages is, Jared's going to be 30 this coming February. And Matthew and William will be 27, right? 27 in August. So yeah, that's my family. And, you know, I could go on and on about my past and all that, but this is more about these sort of other Rose questions. So that's sort of my, like, where do you come from? What do you do now? Where do you live and all that? So next question is, what life experience or person has helped shape you the most into the person you are today, and how? So I thought about this question a lot, and, you know, you can give like a fluffy answer, like, oh, it was when my kids were born. Like, obviously that was a very impactful time for me, or change of life, as is for any like first time mom, day you got married, all of those things. But, I really, honestly, I think that for me, it's a life experience that happened late in life. So I can't say it affected like my entire life, but it has affected it for the last 5 years. And that was my move to Wisconsin. And kind of in several areas did that impact me, because when we first talked about it, I was like, I can't do that. I've lived here my entire life. I have all these commitments. I've got all these like things that anchor me to where I was born and raised. And it just became very apparent for like a good marriage, or a good, you know, like marriage, and therefore your family, your core family life, that it was going to be a necessary to make some changes. And so we decided to do that. So it was very outside of my box, though, because this was me moving at, what age was I then? 48 years old. So it was very outside my comfort zone, and I was scared. But once I knew that's what we were doing, I totally embraced it and was actually excited about sort of the opportunities. It started like, you know, I imagine there's people who like have moved 10 and 20 times in their life that are like, this sucks. And, you know, I wish I could just like take up root somewhere and live somewhere. But like, for me, it wasn't like the moving part, like the physical, like packing up and unpacking when you get here. Not that, but just the impact of moving to somewhere where literally nobody knows you, and having to, you know, get to know your town, get to know all new people. I mean, we didn't have anybody close by us. One thing that it did do was brought us closer and more close to Tim's boys, because at the time they were all still living like in Wisconsin, Minnesota. And so it took us closer to them. But specifically, and I was actually very proud of myself and how I dealt with it. I didn't, nor have I really ever had a regret. I like it here. I'm comfortable here. I miss my family a lot and my old friends. I miss them, but I keep up with them. And fortunately, Tim and I, because for his business, he has a log yard up here, obviously where we're at, but he also still has where he began the business in Missouri. He also still has that log yard down there. So we travel back and forth a decent amount. So I'm still able to see my friends and family when we go back there and work. So that's good. But specifically, I think what changed was my relationship with God. And, you know, I went to a Lutheran grade school, went to, was born and raised Lutheran, still am Lutheran. You know, church was very important to my family. God was important to my family. My mom and dad raised us in a, you know, good Christian home and all that. But I honestly think my relationship with God got stronger after we moved. And like, I don't know, I don't want any of this to sound corny or anything, but I'm just being honest and saying it as like straightforward as I can. But like, and I don't mean ill to anyone, any of my friends or family when I say this, but like sometimes when you need an anchor, God is like become like the one person that I can count on any second of the day, any day of the week, any week of the year. You know, it just like, no matter who else you turn to, they're human. Okay. So they're human. Sometimes they don't say the right thing to you, or, you know, you feel rejection from them. You feel betrayal from them possibly, or maybe they're just not available to you in the moment because they're doing something else. Maybe you had their own problems and they can't deal with, you know, hearing like, you know, being there for you, or whatever the case may be. You know, I always say you have like different kinds of friends for different things. Like you have one friend that you just go to have fun with, and you have one friend that you confide about these things, and you have one friend that you confide to about these things. I don't know like if there exists like any friend that can be there for you in every capacity you need. I wish there was. I might have one. But anyway, so I'm getting off track here. But like, God became that for me. And I know like that sounds cliche. And I know like if you're a Christian, like they're say that that's what we learn, and that God has a plan for us, and he's always there for us. But like, it truly became a thing for me where if nothing else, I knew that I could pray and it would make me feel better. I could read a devotion or read a favorite passage from the Bible, or any number of things where it truly gave me and gives me like strength. It gives me peace. It really gives me a lot of peace knowing that God has a plan. And again, I know that sounds so cliche, but even our move up here really, really taught me that, because it's never in a million kajillion years what I would have thought of as my plan. But it came very, very obvious to me through just a string of events that's what God's plan was. And I felt very comfortable once we had done it and at peace with it, knowing that that's what it was. And so like, I hang on to that a lot. If I'm ever having any kind of like just something I'm sad about, something I'm feeling sorry for myself about, something that's happening in my life that's leaving me feeling left out or just feeling less than or inadequate in any way. And I just am like, you know, this is for a reason. This is for, there's like a purpose here, and just like move forward, look for the good, all of those things. So I guess it's just because it was like a change, like I use the word traumatic, not meaning like a bad traumatic, but just like a very impactful change in my life. And it just shifted my sort of mentality to that. And so, yeah, I would say our move, first of all, it gave me like sort of a confidence that I didn't really know I had, but it also gave me a really strong and closer relationship with God. So, yeah, thank you. Oh, thank you for such a nice answer, Natalie. You're welcome, Natalie. What's the next question? Okay. The next question is, what three things would you bring with you if you're on a desert island? And it can't be food or water, because those are obvious. So I would bring lotion, hand lotion. I would bring a fingernail clippers, and I would bring a toothbrush. I cannot stand it when my hands feel dry. It gives me anxiety. The feeling of like your tight skin. I hate that. So hand lotion and then fingernail clippers. Like if I chip a nail, I don't ever do my nails. So my nails are just like raw, like not painted, just my nails. But like, you know how, if you get like a little, like if it chips a little bit or it gets like separated, oh, I hate that. I cannot stand it. So I would have a nail clipper. So otherwise I'd just like go insane. And then I would bring a toothbrush because I can't stand when my teeth are dirty. I was almost going to say dental floss, because the older I get, the more I get stuff caught in my teeth, and it drives me absolutely insane. So I carry dental floss with me everywhere, but I also like my teeth like clean. It just makes me feel so much better. So I figured a toothbrush could like fulfill both of those things. Okay. So those are my three things. Thank you, Natalie. That was also a very nice answer to that question. Next question. What is something that you have an unpopular opinion about? Two things. I have two things. One is that I think Starbucks is overrated. And I think I've said that on here before, just as like an example for other people, so they knew what like I was talking about when I asked this question. So I think Starbucks is overrated. It's fine. Like I get it. I mean, I go get Starbucks sometimes if there's a Starbucks, but I don't seek out a Starbucks. And I don't think that their coffee is that much better than what you can get at McDonald's, or honestly, what I make in my kitchen. And then I pour my hazelnut creamer in. It's fine. Like, I'm not picky. And I think it's almost too strong for me. And I don't know. It's just okay. It's just, I don't really see the hype. But I also am just a very basic coffee drinker. I don't get any fluffy drinks. I don't even know how to order. Also, it intimidates me. I don't freaking know how to order. I don't even know what those sizes are. Like, I just go in and say medium. It might sound like a dumbass, but I just like say I want a medium coffee. So whatever, grande, floppa wappa, mocha choca, whatever it is. Like, I don't know those names. The other thing that I have an unpopular opinion about is I do not believe that we landed on the moon. I don't think that ever happened. I think it was a hoax by the country, because to deviate from something or another going on in the country, I do not believe we landed on the moon. And I kind of got to know a girl on Instagram years ago when I was doing my influencing, like to try at it. And I put something on my story about this, and she was like, oh my gosh, my husband wrote a book about this, because I guess he worked in like a really high level of government and had access to a lot of like government records, I guess, but he wrote the book under a pseudonym. And so I bought it off Amazon, but I for sure believe it now. Like, I don't, there's so many reasons that I don't. I would go into that. Maybe that's a different podcast, but I don't believe we landed on the moon. The main reason is, why haven't someone gone and landed on the moon since then? Why haven't we walked on the moon since 1969 or whenever the hell that happened? Like, we should have done that. We should be practically living on the moon by now. Yeah, yeah, we don't have the budget, blah, 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 blah. But like, that was 1969. It still seems like by now we should have landed on the moon and walked on the moon again and done something, but we haven't. All right. Next question. What is your biggest pet peeve? Okay. I also can't just settle on one here. Like, I have several. One of them is when people chew really loud, like, but specifically loud food anyway, but like they're completely not conscious or self-aware of how loud they're chewing. Like, for instance, when they chew chips, like any kind of chip, specifically Fritos, a loud Frito chewer. Oh my God. I have to leave the room and close the door behind me. I can't do it. That's one thing. Carrots, like, is nothing. So when I eat chips, I don't know how you chew quiet, but I try. The other thing is when people talk with their mouth full of food. Now, I think everybody does that to a certain extent, but if I have my mouth full of food and someone asks me a question, I will always at least go like, I'm doing it right now, so I probably shouldn't because I'm talking into a microphone, but I put my hand in front of my face. And it's like an acknowledgement, like my mouth is full of food. So I'm going to try to answer your question, even though I have food in my mouth. It's like another self-awareness thing. I have this person in my life, I know, and it drives me insane. I don't have the nerve to tell this person, but no lie, if they put food in their mouths and half a second later, someone asks the question, completely self-aware that their mouth is full of food and maybe they should chew a little bit before they answer. And they just answer the question full on with their full mouth, not trying to cover it up, not chewing a little bit and swallowing a little bit, but just full on answer. Can't understand what they're saying. There's mouth food falling out of their mouth and they're totally unaware of it. Completely drives me crazy. Absolutely insane. That's another one. The other one is when cars will pull out in front of you real fast and then they go really slow. Like, couldn't you wait 5 more seconds till I drive by you and then pull out? Clearly you could have. Just do it. Drives me nuts. Okay, getting super passionate about that, but that means it's a true pet peeve. Drives me crazy. All right. The next question is, Natalie, yes, if you could have coffee or a glass of wine with anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would it be? All right. This was another one I had a lot of problems with because I don't have just one answer. So I'm not just going to give one answer because I don't have to. So I have different, and I could probably make a huge long list, but this is what I came up with. First, I would want to talk to Marilyn Monroe and Britney Spears, maybe not together, individually. I am so fascinated by how fame affected them both because in their primes, they were massive worldwide superstars. Like, everybody knows their name pretty much even to this day, but both of them were like very negatively impacted by their fame, mental health wise, mostly. Marilyn Monroe, as we probably all know, OD'd, I guess. Do we know if that was on purpose or not? She fascinates me. She's just fascinating to me. But I would love to sit down and talk to her about just like the progress of that whole journey and story. And then Britney Spears, you guys, if you watch her Instagram, what is going on there? What is happening to her? I'm so worried. Even if she's free from her dad now, but I feel like I'm watching just a random 12-year-old girl trying to film some like on Instagram for the first time ever, trying to film some random like twirly dance moves. And oh my goodness. And then where does she get that low rise stuff? Like, how do you get that low rise and not just show it all off? But just, it's so odd to me. It's so strange. It's so weird. But it's like a train wreck. I can't not watch it. Like, every time she pops up in my Instagram feed, I'm just fascinated. And I want to know that poor girl, what she has gone through over the last 20 years. And I just feel like the fame has gotten to her. I'm not sure she'll ever be completely, completely, I don't like to use the word sane because I don't think she's insane, but will she be completely normal? Like, I just, ugh. So I would want to talk to them about that. Then I would like, this is a completely different spectrum, but then I would also like to sit down like Anne Frank or Eva Kaur, who were both Holocaust victims, or Eva Kaur was a survivor. She was her and her twin. I didn't ever know much about this, but apparently they did these like really torturous tests on twins back then to like, I don't know, to test certain theories or to see what, how they would react if they, I don't really know. I haven't read in depth about it, but there was these awful, awful twin studies that they did where they were just abused and tortured horribly, but her and her sister lived through that. And anyway, I'm so fascinated by the Holocaust. It just to this day blows my mind. I just read I know there's a statistic out there that's like 60, almost 65% of the Jews that lived back then were killed. 63%. There was like 10.5 million and they killed like 6.5 million of them. How are that many people killed and the world does nothing about it? I don't know. It's an event that just absolutely blows my mind. But for the people that were survivors of the Holocaust and the concentration camps and all of that, I just can't imagine people living through that, living to tell the story and the horrible, horrible, horrible trauma that was suffered. I mean, I've read several books, you know, that take place that are kind of historical fiction, but it, you know, based on some facts, and it blows my mind. So that would be another segment of just women that went through that. Then here again, going off on another tangent, I would also love to interview Bethany Frankel. She was a former Real Housewife of New York, but she was like a rags to riches story. And I know she really, really rubs some people the wrong way, but she's a rags to riches story. But she's a total, you can't like take this away from her, but she's like a sort of like a business icon. And she, just made it big. She's no nonsense. She says things how they are, doesn't give a shit what people think about her, but I'm fascinated by her as well. I would love to sit down to talk to her. And then lastly, I would love to talk to my grandma Petzold again. I miss her. And I think that she died when she was 99 and she was such a put together lady. She always, always looked nice. She was always so kind and just so gentle. And oh, I miss her. So, wow, I'm almost getting teary eyed. Okay. I would like to talk to her again. What is happening? God. Okay. Yeah, I better end that question. I don't want to, why am I crying? My goodness. Did not expect that. I thought I would cry on the question about the life experience that has helped shape you the most. I did not expect to cry by just saying I wanted to talk to my grandma Petzold. Okay. Tell me about your relationship with social media. Okay. I will. So my question specifically is, tell me about your relationship with social media, your preferred social media, how engaged are you, time spent, personal pros and cons, societal pros and cons. So I think I've talked about this before when we had our little generations interview with my mom and Allie and my sister-in-law and my niece, but Instagram is my go-to platform, social media platform. And I've also told this story before. I used to, like when we first moved here, for about the first 2 years, I was trying my hand at influencing and that just wasn't for me. I wasn't prepared for the amount of like work that was involved, but it also just got to me, in a mental health sort of way. What am I trying to say? But like, it got to me, the pressure of it got to me, the numbers got to me. It took me a while to get over that. It took me a while to, go and not have that many people like a post of mine or whatever, you know, after I sort of got out of it. And like, that took me a while. I was like, what's wrong with me? Why don't they like my stuff? But I've gotten over that for the most part. I look at that a little bit still, but I didn't like that pressure. So I have Facebook, but I'm rarely on it. like hardly ever. And I think it's because on Facebook, obviously that's more of a platform that you're on for like people that you know. For Instagram, I obviously follow people that I know, but by far the accounts that I follow are just people I don't know and people that I want to follow. Mainly my feed is like funny mom memes or funny, like, I don't know, just whatever, like wine drinking memes or being I'm old memes or stuff like that. Or even more so like fashion stuff, like outfits, street style outfits and like clothes and fashion. Dang it. I always think I'm going to watch for my 30 minute little ending thing and I always forget. So yeah, that's what my feed consists of is like a lot of fashion and outfits is mostly that. But then also I really, really love reels of people getting scared, like people jumping out and scaring people. Or like those memes, like the ones where I swear I'm gonna do it someday to somebody, like where you're sitting on, like there are two people sitting on the couch and the one person just start, like gets up and screams to see what the other person does. Those just made me laugh so hard. And so yeah. But so the stuff on my Instagram feed, when I'm scrolling through it, it's full of stuff that is not making me compare. Like I'm to the point, like I don't really compare my body. Like I, like my body image and all that is not really affected by that anymore. And, you know, cause all these fashion accounts I follow are these like, of course, beautiful, thin, skinny women, but I truly am not even looking at that. I'm like looking at the outfits they're putting together and what they're putting together and how to put that together and all that. So, or the funny stuff that I follow, I just enjoy that or whatever. So, yeah, I would say the vast majority of my feed ends up being, and you know how that works. You know, the algorithm shows what you want to see. I have a feeling I'm not even seeing a lot of people that I know real well post because I don't know why. But I, let's see, where was I going with that? Oh, in a society respect, I just feel like social media is really tough on kids up to like about age 20-ish, maybe to mid 20s, but especially teenagers. And, you know you hear this everywhere, but I feel like when you're at those ages and you are going through puberty and your hormones are running rampant and running wild and the peer pressure gets to you in every form or fashion and, you know, you don't look how you want to, and you're going through that awkward stage or whatever. Like, I hate of what it can do to that age. And the teenagers now, which has probably been this way for a while, but don't know a life without social media. Like I know a long, long life without social media. So I feel like I'm more equipped to handle social media because I remember what it was like before. And the kids now don't know any different. So I don't know that they are equipped to know how to handle life without it. And I don't know. I'm glad my kids are sort of out of that phase. Actually, Tyler, I don't know if he still is, but he just told me the other day that he took TikTok. He doesn't have TikTok anymore, which is like great, I think. I don't think Allie does. Well, maybe she has TikTok, but not Instagram. One of them. Either way, I just think it's full of so many good things. I also think social media is good because I think that lots of things have become more acceptable. Like I think like body image and mental health has really come to the forefront in like raising awareness of mental health issues and people addressing their mental health and having trouble with mental health, but also accepting all body types and you know, like I think social media has helped with that. I'm sure that there's aspects of social media that has made that worse, but you know, there are some pros to it as well. You just have to look for it and, you know, you have to consciously try and make it be healthy for yourself and simply not follow the accounts that are any threat to your mental health. So whatever, I'm probably making these answers entirely too long. So that's my relationship with social media. Streaming recommendations. You know, this is a hard one because I think at the forefront, you're going to like talk about the shows you've just watched because those are like at forefront of your mind. But Tim and I just finished watching Better Call Saul, which was, I think, 6 seasons. And we started watching that because prior to that, we watched Breaking Bad, which again was, isn't, these are both, well, Breaking Bad more so was an older series, but I very, very much enjoyed both of those. Really liked both of those. I'd recommend both of those. I obviously am a big reality TV fan. So I watch Selling Sunset is one of my favorites. Just finished that about a week ago, the newest season. I also like Selling Sunset OC, or Selling OC, I guess I call it. That took me an episode or two to like it, but I really, really liked it. I'm a big Bridgerton fan, so I am a big fan of that. I want to watch this new Queen one that's out, the one about the Queen. Haven't got to watch that yet. I was an Ozark watcher. I guess like those are the series, most of the series that I've watched. So yeah, it's probably nothing different than anybody else has really watched, but I think those are good. Do you have any beauty and or life hacks that you would like to share? Yes, I have a few, both beauty and just life hacks. So one of them is this: to get in a little bit of exercising in just your normal everyday chores, I do either squats and or leg lifts while I'm brushing my teeth, because I have an electric toothbrush, or like a sonic toothbrush, and I brush my teeth for the full 2 minutes that you're supposed to. And I do, like, you know how every 30 seconds, if you have one, every 30 seconds, this like it, like, you know, beeps. So you do airs 4 quadrants of your mouth. And so each quadrant is for 30 seconds. So I do, like, if I'm doing leg lifts, I do the left leg for the first minute. And then the second minute starts, I do the other leg. Or I just do like squats the whole time, the whole 2 minutes. Or I do like backwards leg lifts, like where you like lift your leg in back of you, like to work your butt. But I do that every single morning and every single evening. I do leg lifts while I brush my teeth. Another one is Dawn Power Wash. You're welcome, Allie. But yes, it is true. Dawn Power Wash works on everything. I use it for stains on my clothes, anything that's greasy or dirty. If you let it set, I spray it on bugs on my grill, right? On my grill of my car, and they come off a lot easier. I use it on like the tops of things in my kitchen that, you know, accumulate like a greasy film over time. I have light fixtures that have that. And I just did this yesterday, actually. And I just squirt that on there and let it sit there for like, I don't know, 20 seconds. And it just wipes right off. And so anything that has like grease, we've used it. I just use it in so many applications. So Dawn Power Wash. And of course it works on dishes. And then another one is I use a paper towel holder, like one of the paper towel, not that you install like under your cabinet, but when you just sit on your counter, I use a paper towel holder for my hair scrunchies or any kind of ponytail holder. Any kind of ponytail, like ponytail band, whatever the hell, you can use those to store those or even bracelets. You can just slip them right on top of there. And then the other one is curly hair one. So, I only wash my hair like twice a week. To try and keep my girls, well, I guess I can call my curls a little bit fresher. When I sleep on a pillow, first I use a, like a satin pillowcase. And then I also wear a scrunchie, in a low ponytail, but I put the scrunchie around my hair only once. So it's just like barely holding it. Cause I know that's supposed to be bad for your hair if you wear hair in your ponytail at night, but first of all, it's a scrunchie. So even if I wrapped it twice, it probably would be fine, but I only wrap it once. And then that's how I sleep. And it helps hold my curls a little better than if I don't wear one at all. So there's my hacks. Next question. Whoopsie. If you can apply only two makeup items, what are they and what brands are they? So if I can only do two makeup items, they would be mascara and lip gloss. Now, I say lip gloss not because I necessarily like lip gloss and how it looks, but I mean, I do, but specifically because of the lip gloss I use. So first of all, my mascara, and is my favorite's better than sex? I know a lot of people say that. It's, again, a very common answer, but believe me, I have tried so many mascaras. I'm a nut about mascara, and I love trying mascaras, but I finally have kind of stopped to an extent because I mean, I bet I've tried 50 different mascaras and I always, always, always come back to Better Than Sex. Now, I know that is a very much a personal preference. And just because I like it doesn't mean you're going to like it. Because I've had people say they can't stand that mascara. So that's the, I love that brush, everything about it. So that's my go-to. And my lip gloss, there's a lip gloss called City Lips, C-I-T-Y Lips. And the reason I tried it, I was influenced by Instagram. Years ago already, this has been quite a few years ago. And I went through a winter, I guess, there, my lips were so dry and nothing helped. I used to be a chapstick fanatic, the blue kind. And I still use the blue chapstick, but I was constantly putting it on. And it was not helping this particular winter. So I had read, like they sold it, like the selling points on Instagram were both for like lip plumping, but also for lip moisturizing. And I knew a woman who on Instagram, who like, I knew her through Instagram and she used it. And she said, like, I'm not just trying to sell it. I really do like it. So I thought, well, what the hell? I'll try it. Now I will say it doesn't really plump my lips. I don't think it does that. I wanted it to, but it really doesn't. But man alive, does it help with moisturizing my lips? Honestly, I have to apply it maybe twice a day. And it is a little bit sticky, but I think that's maybe what makes it have the holding power. I personally don't mind it. Plus it just looks nice. It's just clear. You can buy colors, but I always just use the clear and I put it on in the morning and then I put it on after. I mean, really only thing that takes it off is if you eat. So I put it on after lunch and then I put it on after supper. And that's literally, I love it. It totally love it. It's not the cheapest in the world, but very often they run buy one, get one sales. But it's called City Lips if you want to check that out. Then just like token, I'm going to throw these out because I just love these few makeup items, but those would be my two must-haves. But I love Thrive eyeshadow sticks. Love them. They go on so, so smooth and so easy. And they're very subtle colors, but yet they are nice, you know, like I don't know the adjectives to use here, but that I love those eyeshadow sticks. And then I also love e.l.f. putty blush in the color specifically of Bora Bora is the one I use, but I really, really love that blush. It's a cream blush that I just dab on and then I smooth it with a brush. Love that color. It just pinkens up your cheek, the color Bora Bora does. And then I've recently, within the past really about 6 months, and again, this was influenced by Instagram, but it's a brand called In Beauty Project. So it's like I-N-N Beauty, and it's like all one word and then project. So In Beauty Project. And I use several of their skincare items, but the makeup, and it's really barely a makeup, but it's called Face Glaze, G-L-A-Z-E, In Beauty Face Glaze. And it's like a super, 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 super light. I don't even think it's not considered a foundation. It's like a face glaze. It's almost like a highlighter for your entire face, but it just gives you like a really nice glow and just a very slight tint color. But it like, I just love it. And it's really easy to apply. It applies so smooth. It's not at all heavy. Love it so much. Okay. So those are my makeup items. I should probably put all this in my little notes section. So in case anybody's interested, you can look there. Do you have a nighttime facial routine? And if so, what are the products that you love or would like to share? Oh my God. I feel like everyone is going to crack up when they hear my facial routine. It is so extensive and I use so many products. It's ridiculous, but I finally have found my perfect combination. And I don't really even try any. I was also like a facial product nut, like with mascara. Like anytime I saw something advertised, I'm like, ooh, I need to try that. Ooh, I need to try that. And I still do that sometimes, but not nearly how I used to. And I pretty much have my set items that I like. But it's long, it's a long list. And this is just my nighttime routine. I have like one other item. My morning routine is actually much shorter than my nighttime routine, but this is my nighttime routine. Okay, ready? I first take off my makeup with just regular old Walmart, like eye makeup, liquid eye makeup remover with a cotton ball. So just the Quaite brand. Okay. Then I use Oil of Olay Regenerating Cream Cleanser to remove my makeup. And I use Foria Luna, Foria Luna. It's like a little like egg-shaped thing that's silicone. And it, and like you, that's what I like rub my face with, like the little, it's not a brush, but it's got little silicone, little things, little brush things on it. And I use that to wash my face and have for years and years and years. It's also expensive, but it lasts forever. And I really love it too. Okay. So then I put Latisse on, which is eyelash growth, like a little liquid serum thing. Then I put Latisse on, and then I put, it's called Ahava Hydration Cream Mask. I think that's how you pronounce it. Ahava. I actually got it in a FabFitFun box when I used to get those, and I just loved it. So I first put that on, which is a like a moisturizer. Then I have, this is another In Beauty Project item, but it's called In Beauty Retinol Remix, and it's got 1% retinol in it. I use that next. Then I use Tula's Clear It Up Gel. Now, I only use this on the places where I tend to always break out, which is on the very extreme sides of my cheek, like under my ear, all the way down along that, and then all along my chin. That's the only place I use that. And I feel like it helps because I don't break out there as much as I used to. So I use that in those areas. Then on top of that, I put an Il Makiage Power Lift Plumping Cream. And this, I love this. It looks like a gel almost, but it comes like with a little applicator stick, and you like reach, it's like in a little tub, and you reach in and with a little stick and put like, take it out, put it on your face. Anyway, Il Makiage, it's again, I was influenced by Instagram, but I've been using it for a while, but it's like spelled IL space MAKIAGE, Power Lift Plumping Cream. Then under my eyes at night, I put Thrive Defying Gravity Eye Cream. And then on my neck and chest, I put Gold Bond Neck and Chest Firming Cream. Yeah, this is all at night. And then I spray Mario Badescu Rosewater Facial Spray as a last little thing. Yes, that's a lot of items, but I use them all every night, and I never miss a night. The only time I miss a night is if I'm like really, really, really been overserved. That's about it. That's about the only time. And even then, I try to at least get in two or three of those steps. So that's my FaceTime ritual. It's ridiculous. It takes me, I have to go to bed 15 minutes early to just do that. Okay. Oh, let's see. This is longer than I thought. Okay. My next question. What is your worst physical body insecurity, and what specific part of your body do you love? So my worst physical body insecurity is two things. One is my trichotillomania, and the second is my hands. My trichotillomania, and I think I've talked about this before, but those who haven't listened, I have, it's a name for pulling out your eyelashes and or eyebrows or hair. A lot of people have it really, really bad and will pull out chunks of hair out of their head. I've never pulled out hair on my head. Never have. Used to do eyebrows. Occasionally will like kind of pull at them, but I hardly do eyebrows anymore at all. But it's my eyelashes that drive me nuts. And, you know, I used to think it was just stress. There's definitely certain times in my life that I will like not do it for 2 weeks. And then I'll have one day that I just pull and pull and pull, and I'll pull out all my progress that I've made on growing them. So you just said you wear Latisse. Yeah, I wear Latisse. I use an eyelash growth serum, and then I pull them out. I know I probably wasted hundreds and hundreds of dollars on eyelash stuff. I always think, you know, I'm going to stop. And I can't, it's hard. I can't stop. I feel like I'm better. And then I'll have a bad day, and it doesn't take much. I feel like as I've aged, you already have start to like slow growth, your eyebrows and eyelashes and things. So it's getting crucial, but now if you know me and see me, you're going to watch to see if I'm pulling my eyebrows and eyelashes. If you do, slap my hand on the spot. I will probably get mad at you instantly because I'll be like, what the hell? But then I'll thank you. It's happened before with friends. So just do it. It pisses me off when I do it. I get so mad at myself, but I can feel myself doing it. And then I roll them between my fingers. It's weird and it's gross, but I do it. I pull the eyelash out. It's because, and when I don't wear mascara, I don't do it. But I do it like where I will pull the mask. I'm doing it right now. I pull the mascara off of my eyelash, but then, and there's something satisfying, so satisfying about that. But the satisfying part is if I can pull the mascara off my eyelash, but with it, it goes to where I'm actually pulling my eyelashes out with the mascara. So you say, don't wear mascara. Well, I just got done telling you that I'm a mascara freak and I can't do without mascara. So I can't do that either. Whatever. So yes, I'm very, very self-conscious about that. The body parts I love. I do love my hair. I have curly hair. I've always liked my hair. I can tell that it's not growing as much as it used to. And I kind of hate it because I used to have longer curly hair and it's just doesn't grow like it used to, but whatever. I still love my curly hair. I like my feet. I do. I don't have a foot fetish or anything, but I just kind of like my feet. They're pretty narrow. Like I have narrow feet and I kind of like my feet. But I also kind of like my boobs. Now, I don't know how politically correct this is, but they're not real, but I love them. And that's why I love them. My boobs didn't exist after I had two kids, basically. And so I just took care of that. I've had them for many, many, many years, but I love them. So I hope I never have to get rid of them, but I do love my boobs. Okay. What is your worst social insecurity and what is a social strength you think you have? Social insecurity is, well, one, I'm terrible at remembering people's names, and I absolutely hate a social scenario where I completely will recognize somebody, totally recognize them, but then can't think of their names. And how many times have I been in a situation where I'm with someone and I see someone I know and I want to introduce them, but I don't know their name. I hate that. I hate it so much, and I'm terrible at it. I'm so bad at it. So that's a social insecurity I have. And then, like storytelling, like especially in groups of people, you know how there's some people that like will, and I don't mean like it has to be a big long story, but even like, oh, yesterday when I went to Walmart, this happened to me. For some reason, it's so funny in my head. And then when I say it out loud, I hear crickets and I'm like, yeah, that really wasn't that funny. I'm sorry, everyone, for boring you with that horrible story. But you know, there's people that could tell the same story and everyone would be cracking up, dying, laughing. I'm not that person. And so, and then I get embarrassed because I want to tell a story and I'll be like, okay, I can do this. I can tell this story and it can be funny. And then I feel myself getting so embarrassed. I can even feel my face getting red and flushed because I'm like blushing because I'm embarrassed of telling the story. And then I hurry through the story. And then again, it's not funny. It's a social insecurity. A social strength is I think I'm good at listening and I know I'm good at asking questions. Ask my kids, ask any of my friends. I'm relentless with question asking. I got it from my mother, but I ask questions. But I also think that, but secretly, people like to have questions asked about themselves because everyone likes to talk about themselves. So maybe I ask too many sometimes, but I'm good at asking questions and listening. So I think those are social strengths I have. Mental health. Next question is mental health is more widely talked about now. How important is your mental health to you? And what are ways that you take care of your mental health? Do you have any specific mental health struggles or things that challenge your mental health? Yes, yes, and yes. I have just more recently, I'd say again in the past, maybe just few years, maybe even again since we moved, which I don't really know what the relation there would be, but I have become more aware of my mental health and self-aware and can, you know, see myself when I'm struggling with things and can admit that I am. And, you know, whether it be like
I don't know, hormones, you know, monthly hormones or whatever the case may be. But I do struggle. I'm a people pleaser. So to everybody in my life, from those closest to me to the cashier that did I tell him thank you? Oh God, I don't know if I told him thank you. Like, I stress about people pleasing stuff so bad. And, you know, a people pleaser is good to a certain extent, but not to where it affects your own mental health and you question every freaking thing you do, which is me. And I don't like that about myself. And I try to work on that. But what sometimes people pleasing, and maybe there's more to it than just people pleasing, but I feel like sometimes I have a lot of insecurities about myself and I just worry about doing things wrong. I feel like it puts me in like a box and I'm scared to go outside of it because I'm scared of messing it up or I'm scared of screwing up or I'm scared of offending somebody or I'm scared of, you know, not sticking up for myself or whatever the case may be. And I turn inward. This is sort of where my, like what I talked about earlier and my reliance on prayer and my spiritual life, my relationship with God, has helped a lot. And I rely on that. I also have realistically looked for ways to try and get out of those. I went through a period about 3 years ago that I was really, really I was so on edge and so just, I could just tell I wasn't myself. I got mad so easily and I was just offended by everything. And I just didn't like it. But I do several things, I would say. I prayer is a big part of my life. I follow two devotional, I get two devotional emails every day. I have a little book that every morning when I read, when I'm eating my breakfast, I read from. I also do things like every Sunday night, I've just made it a ritual and made it, I just make myself do it. I mean, absolutely. Unless I'm just not home, I try every effort to every Sunday night, I get my Vanity Planet Ionic facial steamer out. And which takes about 20 minutes. And I do that facial steamer while I'm watching TV or reading a book or whatever. And then I follow that steamer up by a sheet face mask that I get from Amazon. And I let that sit for 20 minutes. And then if I have time during the day or even after that, I'll also do a hair mask too. That's not a must necessarily, but I do like to do that if there is time. But I every Sunday night do my ionic facial steamer and my sheet mask. And that is just my cliche self-care Sunday, but it really is. I just have found that Sunday night is a night that I can count on where I typically really don't have anything. So I do that. I also subscribe to an app called I Am, and it's just affirmations that will come up on your phone, however often you want them to and under any kind of categories that you want. So I do that. I keep a gratitude journal. I used to, use that more than I do now, but I use that and it just forces me, if I'm a really negative space to look at things that I'm thankful for, which can be as simple as my morning cups of coffee or, being able, watching Real Housewives of New York on my treadmill this morning, or, anything, fried bacon, whatever, anything in the day that I'm thankful for and to make you see the good. So anyway, those are things that I have, you know, and this is a topic you could probably talk hours on, but I'll keep it to that since I'm starting to really, I'm at 28 and a half minutes. So I didn't think I would be over an hour, but I'm gonna stop and continue. So be right back. Okay. Sorry. I'm getting really wordy here and need to limit this a little bit. So I'm going to move on here. Okay. A few more questions. I'll try and make them shorter. Do you read? If so, what are your top three favorite books? So these are my top four. And again, some of this is a little bit of the books that are forefront on your mind, after you've read them, but so be it. Okay. But like my all time favorite, I think, is actually To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee, like the To Kill a Mockingbird from a long, long time ago. It's one of my favorite books. Still, that's at the top of the list. I really like Verity by Colleen Hoover. I like just these two I'm listing now are ones that I've most recently read. One is called The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna. So good. It again took place. It was like a story about two women that went through like basically the Holocaust and their experiences from their perspectives. So good. So good. And then The Housemaid by Freida McFadden. This is like a thriller. That's more my genre. I mean, like a serious, like the Nightingale wasn't really a thriller, but it was like a page turner. You didn't know what was going to happen next. I'm not really like a rom-commy kind of love story. I mean, I don't mind those, but I prefer the like thriller type, more serious books. So anyway, The Housemaid is a thriller. It's crazy. And it's by Freida McFadden. Okay. Favorite place you've traveled and a bucket place you'd like to travel. Well, obviously we just covered this a few weeks ago when Allie and Maggie interviewed me, but, absolutely without a doubt, Bora Bora is the favorite place I've traveled. If it ever gets the opportunity, you have to go there. It's the most relaxing, just pampering, beautiful trip you could take. Bucket list places, the world. Can I just say that? Like, I really, really have a desire to travel in my older years. But I guess some specific places I would like to go is Mykonos and Amsterdam, and I would like to go to the Holy Land. I know that's a really dangerous place to go, but I don't know. It's just on my bucket list. Again, there's so many other places too that I would love to go to, but those are just some ones that I kind of have up there. Do you have pets? What are they and what are their names? Well, yes. And I think I've talked about them many, many times. And my next question is, do you have a dog voice? And y'all have actually heard my dog voice before, but I will use it again. But I have Max. We have Max. He is a yellow lab. He is going to be 7 in February. And we got him obviously when he was a puppy, but I'm not used to not be a dog person whatsoever. And Tyler begged me for a year to get a dog. And I just kept saying, no, we can't, don't have time to take care of it. It's not going to be a house dog. If we do, blah, 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 blah. Said all the things. I finally relented. We got him as a puppy. Of course they're cute, but he drove me crazy with all his puppy stuff. But now I just love him to death and he has turned me into a dog person. I don't know how. And now I even very often like other people's dogs. And I used to totally did not like other people's dogs, like at all. And now I find myself oohing and aahing and gooing and gahing over other people's dogs too. I don't know what has happened to me in my old age, but this is how I talk to Max. Okay. Max, do you want to eat? Do you want to eat? Do you want a treat? Oh, you are just such a little baby. You're just so cute. Oh, you want your belly rubbed. Oh, I know. You just love having your belly rubbed. Oh, my goodness. Doesn't that feel? You're just such a little baby. Yes, you are. There we go. That is my dog voice. And I'm not lying. That's how he gets talked. Do you ever wonder if dogs are like, why the hell are you talking to me like that? What is that voice? I don't hear you talking like that to anybody else. So there we go. Let's see. Where am I at? If you had a time machine, would you travel forward or backward? What time period would you travel to? I would travel backward and I would go to the 1920s, like to the Prohibition flapper era. Like I always am fascinated by that decade as well. Like pre-depression though, definitely pre-depression. But I love how they dressed. I love just, I don't know. It seemed like a freestyle kind of life. And I just seems like that would be fun. Okay. That's what I would do. What is your favorite guilty pleasure snack or your top three? So I have so many, like I could just live on junk food, honestly, junk food and oranges. Like that could be what I live on, but specifically, I'm naming these my absolute favorite. And I don't know that it's actually junk food or a totally guilty pleasure snack. It's not that unhealthy. But popping popcorn on a stovetop in a pot with oil, oh, I mean, basically is like movie popcorn. Love it. And that's my treat to myself. If I'm ever home by myself, like on a weekend, I make a huge, and I have a pot that I designate just for popcorn. Like I make nothing. It's a cheap ass. I'll bet you I spent $3 on this pot. But it's the only thing I use it for. And I just pop popcorn in it, and it's a pretty big pot. And I mean, the popcorn comes bulging off the lid, and I eat every single kernel every single time. So stovetop pop popcorn, Reese's peanut butter cup eggs. I mean, like any Reese's peanut butter cup, but my very favorite are the big eggs. Those are my favorite. Oh. And then, but I eat all the chocolate off, and then I eat the peanut butter in the middle at the end, because peanut butter is so, I love the peanut butter. And I eat, the eggs are my favorite because they, in my opinion, have the most peanut butter of all shapes and sizes of Reese's peanut butter cups. And then honestly, just any kind of chip in general. I love chips. Like I don't care if they're just regular Lay's, if they're Cheetos, if they're chili cheese Fritos, if they're like, I mean, you name it, the chip, I like it. So I'm just going to say chips in general. An embarrassing moment you want to share. Well, okay. I always have trouble coming up with embarrassing moments, and I actually have two, but I'm only going to share one for time sake, because I really didn't want this to go over much over like an hour and 15 minutes. So this just happened to me a couple weekends ago, and I guess it's an embarrassing moment. No one really saw it happen, but it could have. They could have, and if they would have, and maybe someone did and I didn't know it, but it still was so, it was embarrassing to me, and it made me really, really laugh at myself. So we were at my, my best friend from like little bitty on's daughter's wedding. Okay. Her name is, well, it doesn't matter what her name is, I guess. But anyway, so we were at her daughter's wedding in Missouri, and, I had like just a sundress on. Okay. And it was pretty warm that day. I mean, it was like fairly warm, but it was a strapless dress, not strapless. Sorry. It just had like spaghetti straps. And so I couldn't wear just like a regular bra with it. So what I wore were just like those little silicone, like nipple covers, you know, that they make. And, so I had those on, and I've never had trouble with those. I've used those for years, and they work great for like tops and dresses like that. And so, but I've never had trouble with them sliding off or coming off or whatever. So we had been sitting down, this is at the reception, and we've been sitting at the table for a little bit. And I went to go, I don't know, get a drink, I guess, maybe. And I walk into the bar, and I felt one of them slide off. Okay. And so I felt it like sticking to my stomach underneath my boob. And I was like, oh shit. I mean, not that it's the end of the world, but still I was like, okay. So I don't want like falling out from underneath my dress. So I was like, okay. So I just immediately turned around and went and sat back at the table and was like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? And I was trying to see if I could like make it fall out like at the table real discreetly with no one looking. But I couldn't, like, it was just an awkward position and people were sitting around and whatever. So I was like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. So I went to headed to the bathroom, and granted the bathroom was like on the other side of the building from where we were sitting. And so I had to go navigate through tables. Okay. So I navigate through tables, and I was like, shit, I was like not even a fourth of the way there. And I felt it fall out. Now I wasn't 100% sure it fell out, but I was 99% sure it fell out. And I was like, please, please help it. Please help it not have fallen out. Please. Because there was when I felt it fall out, I was right between two tables and there was people talking at the tables. Like, so it wasn't a time where I could go, oh, excuse me, everybody, my nipple cover fell out. Step back. Oh, there it is. Like, okay. So I just like, I'm just like, keep walking, go to the bathroom, praying that it's still there. Nope. It's sure enough. It fell out. I was like, shit. So I'm like, so is that nipple color is it just laying on the ground? Like what is that going to look like? So I was like, okay, I can do this. So I went back over to where I thought it fell. And sure enough, there it was. And it was like smashed flat into the concrete, like definitely had been stepped on numerous times, and it was smashed into the concrete. But thankfully, there was like the people that had been standing there talking, the ones that were sitting at the table were not, they were like looking at the people at their table, and there was no one really standing there talking. So I super discreetly, and maybe it wasn't discreet, maybe totally 15 people saw me do it, but I just walked over, do-to-do-to-do, and I like just kind of leaned down, picked it right up. I went to the bathroom. No one was in the bathroom at the time. Washed it off, stuck it right back on, and I was good. So that's my embarrassing moment story that really didn't happen in front of people, but could have been super embarrassing. And it made me actually just laugh. I just was laughing the whole time. Because here's a nipple cover sitting on the floor. There it is. Okay. My next question for other people is, what is a question that you wished I had asked and how would you have answered it? Obviously that's not applicable in my case, but hey, I thought of this. How about if you have a question that you would like to ask me, like go to my Instagram and DM me, or like put it in the show notes or something, and I'll like include that. Like if that's a thing that people are interested in, if there's something you would like to know, even on recap nights, if there's a question, I can just quick answer the question. So if there's a question you would like me to know about me, or even have me ask to other interviewers, let me know. All right, this brings us to the last thing, which is something that I always obviously say at the end of every podcast, and that is my favorite Bible verse. And I've definitely said this many, many times, but mine is, and I have it even tattooed on me, that the verse is Proverbs 31, verse 25, which is the tattoo I have on me. But that verse is, "She is clothed in strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future." So there you have it. Now you know me. Maybe you wish you didn't after hearing all that, but there it is. So thank you for listening. Appreciate it. As always, I appreciate it. If you could, again, as I always ask, please give me a 5-star rating. Please go review. Please follow. Please subscribe. Do all those things for the podcast that you enjoy listening to, especially tell others about the podcast and give me ideas. Let me hear from you. I really appreciate it. So I hope you all have a great week. I will be releasing my first charity recap on then Tuesday morning. That will come out. And we'll go from there. So I hope you all have a great week. Talk to you later. Bye.